Hey, well, it's good to see you guys. Hey, beautiful faces. Hey, you guys, look behind you. Everyone, look behind you. Look behind you. You see all those empty seats? We need to fill them up, all right? So next week, make sure you invite your friends, your people. We got to fill this place up. Hey, we're super excited for tonight. I want to just kind of go straight to it. Hey, we got a brother who's going to come in and bring the word for those of you. How many of you have not heard Jay LaRue speak before? Raise your hand if you have not heard him speak before. Oh, okay, great, great. So we're excited. Well, hey, we want to bring him up. Hey, you know how we welcome people here and how we give honor to people here. So on a count of three, as he comes up, let's give him the biggest oh we know how to give. All right, 1, 2, 3. Thanks, my brother. We love you, man.
Appreciate it. How are you? It's a great honor to be here tonight, as always. Love this time, love this age group. I've been looking forward to it since we planned this thing last year. This is my baby. She wasn't here with me last year, so you can say hi to my sweetie, my honey. Yeah. Believe it or not, that's a grandmother of six over there. It's hard to believe. Yeah. Looking good. How about our worship team, can we give them a hand? Great job. Yeah. Pastor Travis, I don't know where he went. I want to just thank him for, where is he? Right, there he is. All right, yeah. Just for allowing me to be a part. I want to take us to a place in history tonight. I spend a lot of time on universities in our nation, other nations, and many of the PhDs in our universities and around the world think that this is a book that's irrelevant, and they think that this is a book that is just simply a bunch of stories that people put together that have no relevance to the day that we're living in. But I want you to know right here, this is the most relevant book there is in the present day that we live in. I want to take you to a moment of time. It is filled with young people who, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of a time when even the elder generations were unconcerned about his heart and just dismayed by God, it would be teenagers that would change the destiny of their own lives and change the destiny of their families. It would be teenagers that would change the destiny of their world. Just young people. Some of them had no fathers, some had no mothers. Some had fathers who could not see anything that was going on in their lives. Some had people, adults, who looked at them and thought, nothing's going on there. But they were the very young people that God intended to use to change the direction of the world. I want to take you there to a place tonight. I want us to live it, though. There's times that we read these Bible stories and we don't identify with what's going on, but tonight, I want us to live here. I want us to feel what they are feeling. I want us to relate to what was going on. And I want you to see what they will do in a time period that looks absolutely impossible. Are you with me? Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the great honor it is for me to be here. I know this for sure, that you've declared great destiny over this generation. It matters not what anyone thinks. It only matters what you think and what you have declared. So with great honor tonight, I stand among them, declaring your word, your heart, and your passion. Tonight, cause something to happen in all of us, me included. Let a new strength arise to believe you. Let a new heart and passion arise to hope in you. No matter what we think of ourselves, no matter what we see ourselves or how we see ourselves, let tonight be the changing moment. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. The date is 605 BC. the world power are the Babylonians. The prophets will declare them as fearless, and they are fierce. They fear no kings or princes. Nebuchadnezzar has conquered much of the world, and he is about to extend his kingdom. He is about to move to the west. Egypt has a pharaoh by the name of Necho, and Egypt was once a great army, and in just a moment of time, this fierce army will take out Pharaoh Necho. They will begin to move toward the north. The prophet will describe that when they come, they're like the east wind. Their faces soak up the east wind. Their horses are more fierce than leopards, and their warriors are more ravaging than the evening wolf. They fear no one. They've been raised for war since their earliest days. And Nebuchadnezzar will move against the southern tribe of Israel. You've got to know, no army ever penetrated these borders. But the people of God had grown cold toward him. They had grown disinterested in him. And Nebuchadnezzar, with his army, simply walked across those borders and began to kick in the doors of homes. People did not know what was going on. The Babylonians spoke a language that the Israelites did not understand. And they began to take captives. That was the Babylonian way. They began to take teenagers from their homes. You can only imagine how it would be right now. That would be like an army kicking in this door and coming in here and dragging you out. And we could do nothing about it. Mothers and fathers are crying as their teenagers are being dragged out of their homes. They could do nothing. These teenagers, they heard the stories about how God was great and how he delivered them in Israel and in Egypt and how he parted the Red Sea. They knew the stories. And here they were being dragged away by another nation, their fathers and mothers crying over this, weeping over it, and they could do nothing. What did these teenagers do wrong that something like this would happen? They were living in a day when the people of God had grown cold. This was the result. Nebuchadnezzar will take young men and young women back to Babylon. They would be slaves in Babylon. They took four of them. You and I know them. Their Hebrew names are Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They will be called Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I want you to know something about the Babylonians, because something's going on right now in our world, and you and I are in the same fight, all of us. The Babylonians, like no other nation, they changed the name of their captives, of the ones they took slaves. You see, in a Hebrew culture, your name defined you. Your name describes something about God's nature. Your name was who you were. That's how this was. And so the Babylonians attempted to change their destiny, change who they were. Watch. Daniel means God is judge. They changed his name to Belteshazzar. It means Bel is judge. Bel was the sun god of the Babylonians. They saw the sun as the center of everything. They saw the sun as the supreme being that controlled everything. They tried to change Daniel from who he was. They tried to change Daniel from his destiny in God. See, it's happening to you right now. We don't realize it, but God is the dreamer of dreamers. He's the one who has declared destiny over every one of our lives. He's the one who's dreamed for you and I. But we live in a world, and the spirit of this age is trying to erase what God has declared over you and I and put in their own thoughts, put in their own ways. All of us are in that battle. Me at my age, 57, 58 years old, they're trying to tell me how I should be, how I should act, what I should look like. But I've got someone who dreamed a greater dream than they could ever think about. But they're attempting to make you and I become what they think we should be. Don't be angry at them, but understand that God is the one who's dreamed. Watch. Hananiah means given of Jehovah, or whom Jehovah gives. They changed his name to Shadrach. It means command of Aku. Aku was the moon god of the Babylonians. You understand the moon. The moon has nothing of itself. It's totally false. It's dead. But yet it reflects the real sun. It reflects the real light. It is the one thing in our world that draws the tide in and out. And it's the moon that causes that in and outness in people's lives. They tried to erase what his name was, what he represented, given of Jehovah. And they tried to get him to come under the command of something false, something not true. Mishael means there is no God like our God. I love his name. They changed his name to Meshach. What it means is there is no God like our God. That's the Babylonian way. They were trying to erase what was being declared over these young men and the young women they took. The final one, of course, is Azariah. His name means aided by Jehovah, or whom Jehovah comforts. Key word, especially where this young man is going to go. They changed his name to Abednego. It means this, servant of Nebo. Nebo was the god of wisdom for the Babylonians. You see, I was born in the Northeast between Yale and Harvard. MIT is there. Cornell is there. NYU is there. These are colleges that I've been to. You know, up in the Northeast, the big pressure that the church is under there and every young person is what you think is right. What you know in your mind is the right thing. But that mind right there is the most enemy thing to the Spirit of God. It's my mind that needs to be renewed to what God is thinking. It's my mind that needs to be changed. But here, it was the idea that what you think and what we teach you, that's what's right. They dragged these young people from their homes, mothers and fathers crying, doing nothing about it. Here they are being taken slaves and captives. Where is God? Where was he when they needed him? What happened to the stories they heard? Where was this great God? Where is this deliverer? Where was he? They will be here 20 years. They will come at 13 years old, 14. At the most, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, the most they were 15 years old. 20 years has gone by. They haven't had an angel visitation. They haven't had a prophecy. They haven't had a text. They had no Facebook time at all. Nebuchadnezzar's loving it. He is the conquering king. He's sitting on his throne, and Nebuchadnezzar gets an idea. Yeah, I know what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to build a golden image. Yeah. I'm going to put it in the province of Babylon, in the plain of Dura. Yeah. It'll be 90 feet tall and it'll be 18 feet around, solid gold. Sweet. I'll bring all the musicians, trumpet, trombone, psaltery, everything. I'll bring the drums, y'all. I'm going to crank up the sound. And I'm going to have all the people of my kingdom bow. Yeah. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put me a fiery furnace right out here. Yeah. Anybody doesn't bow? Toast. So he gathered all the people of his great nation now. They came as far west as Ethiopia, Egyptians, Philistines, as far north as Moab, Ammon, Ammonites. They were all there, as far east as India, as far east as the Chaldean and the Medes and the Persians. All of them were here, and the Jews. Yeah, the Jews were there too. So he gathered them all in the plain of Dura. Please note, all the world was here. Nebuchadnezzar had it announced by his Chaldean representative. He announced that when the music starts, everybody's to bow to Nebuchadnezzar's golden image. Nebuchadnezzar just was chilling on his throne that he now has out. And Babylon going, yeah, yeah. And tell them what's going to happen if they don't. Oh, yeah. And anyone who doesn't bow gets thrown in the fiery furnace. So they started the music. Sound was good. Ethiopians, yeah, they bowed in a second. It's not worth going into that fiery furnace. Egyptians bowed. Oh, yeah. Philistines bowed. The Chaldeans bowed. Moab, the Moabites, Ammonites, they bowed. The Persians and the Medes, they bowed. Even the Jew. Wait a minute. God's people, yeah, the ones that were told by Moses not to bow. But what difference does it make, really? I mean, everybody's bowing. They might as well. Nebuchadnezzar just looked. All the world was watching. CNN had their cameras. NBC, even Fox was there. Yeah. They looked at him, everybody's bowing. Nebuchadnezzar was feeling like his bad self. Well, one of his Chaldean servants came over to him and whispered in his ear. He said, "Say what?" And he shook his head, "You go get them." So the Chaldeans, they went. They told the king that three of those Jewish boys didn't bow. So they were going to go get them. Shadrach! Meshach, Abednego, yo, hey, Shadrach, yeah, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, yeah, the king wants you. Say what? Yeah, the king wants you. All right, yeah, come on. Nebster, what up, baby? King Nebby, what's going on, yo? King Neb, what up, baby, what up? What's going on? Dude, sweet golden image, man. Yo, it's the sound? Sweet. Nebuchadnezzar shut them down immediately. He stood up from his throne. And he said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come here. Now, you got to know, all the world is watching. I'm sure some of their Jewish friends and their brothers, the guys they hung with, were bowing down, looking, going, fools. What do you think you are? What do you think you're doing? Stupid. You just bow." Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "I want to tell you something right now. I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to start the music up again. And I'm going to give you one more chance to bow. If you don't bow into that fiery furnace. And by the way, who is this God that's going to deliver you out of my hand? Tell me." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they looked at each other. They said, King Nebi, yo, listen. Image, dude, sweet. Sound, excellent. Fire furnace, scary. Oh, yeah. Excuse me. People bowing, pretty neat. Sorry. But Neb, check it out, yo. Listen. You got to know this. The God that you were talking about? Yeah. Well, he can deliver us from that fire furnace. But you got to know this. Whether he delivers us or he doesn't, we're not bowing. We're not bowing. I don't understand. I mean, everyone else is doing it. Why not them? So everyone else is doing it around you. Why not? What purpose does it? What are they doing? I mean, what's going on here? What's happening with these three young men? Where was God when they were being taken slaves? Where has he been for the last 20 years? Yet they're going to trust him? They're going to believe him? Nebuchadnezzar, that's why I love our Bible. His face got distorted. You know how it is when your parents are angry with you. Their faces get all kinds of twisted. It's like, all right. He was angry. He stood up. Everyone was afraid. He called his most mighty men over. He brought them over and he said, "Bind them up. Start that fire. Heat it up seven times hotter. I want you to notice this because the Bible is very specific. You see, in front of everybody, they began to bind them. First, they bound their hands. See, I want you to know something I love with Pastor Travis that I love with our worship group. See, when your hands are bowed, you can't really reach up. You can't really reach out. See, what this world is afraid of in the spirit of this age and our enemy, he's afraid that we're going to reach to the heavens. He's afraid that we're going to reach out beyond ourselves. But they tied their hands so they couldn't move. Next thing was they tied their feet. You see, so they couldn't really walk. They couldn't move anywhere. See, the spirit of this age and this world is afraid that you and I are going to Heisman it. We're afraid we're going to run this race. They're afraid that we're going to charge. They're afraid we're going to roll. They're afraid we're going to be in it. That's what they fear. That a young generation would be willing to stand up and run this race in fullness, unwilling to bow. Unwilling to bow, even if everyone else is doing it. Last thing they did was they tied their head. They blinded it. See, the enemy wants you and I to stay introspective. It's all about me. Look at me. I can't see beyond me. They're afraid that we might just dream. Afraid that we might just believe. Afraid that we might just hope in a God who's awesome and great. That we might look beyond our own circumstances and we'll begin to look to him. All things are possible with him. They're afraid of it. These mighty men picked up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm sure the Egyptians were snickering. I'm sure the Ethiopians were snickering. I'm sure the Philistines were snickering. I'm sure the Medes and the Persians, and I'm sure the Moabites and the Ammonites were snickering. I'm sure the people from India were snickering. I'm sure the Jews, yeah, the people of God were snickering. Stupid. Fools. Why didn't you just bow? Where is this God anyway? Nebuchadnezzar watched. All the world watched as they carried these young men to that fire. I often thought in this story, now would be a good time for the Lord to show up. As they got closer, the flames were so hot that when they threw them in, the men that threw them in were instantly incinerated. That's how hot it was. When they threw him in, the Bible describes that they were laying down in the fire. I'm sure they probably looked at each other, see? They just bowed, they would be fine. If they just bowed, everything would be okay. So what, we're slaves? So what, we're in another country? So what, we don't have anything? So what? And where was this God that was supposed to show up anyways? Where's this God they've been trusting? Where is he? Where's he been? I know the talk. Nebuchadnezzar stood up and looked. You mess with me? Yeah. And where is this God that was going to deliver them? So Big Neb, the king, took a little look into the fire to see how they were frying. He looked in. Called over one of his Chaldeans. Yo, come here. Yeah, you. Take a look in there. He looked in there. He said to King Yagos, how many do we put in there? He said, three. I know that. How many are in there now? Four. And King Nebuchadnezzar, out of his mouth, the same one who just told Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, this God of yours, yeah, we'll see. He looks and he says, the fire has no power over them. They're standing. Nothing is binding them. And there's another one in there who looks like the Son of God. I cannot believe that it is a Christophany. What it is Jesus who has not even yet arrived. He is in there with them. Now all the world is watching. Even the Jews are watching. Nebuchadnezzar goes up to the fiery furnace and he says with a bold voice, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. You've got to see this. They came walking out one at a time. The Bible is clear. It says that the smell of smoke was not on them. Not even their hair was singed. Not even their clothes were singed. The things that they chained them with were broken. They came walking out of there delivered. Here they are in front of the nations of the world. Here they are in front of the king that ruled the world. A king who denied their God even existed. Three young men who wouldn't bow. I want you to hear King Nebuchadnezzar's words. He will stand up and he will declare to all of the nations of the world, these three have changed the word of the king. I wonder in my own life, young people, what will it take to change the power of a nation? What will it take to change the direction of a nation, of a king that doesn't believe? What will it take? Is it an army? Listen to him. He said, these three have changed the word of the king. There's no God that delivers like their God. This is a king who moments ago didn't even believe. He's declaring this. These three have changed the direction of a nation. Listen to his words. Because I want to know. I want to know for my generation, what will it take? I want to know, what will it take? Because I have my generation bowing. Yeah, well, you know what, Jay? Everyone's doing it. Why not? Everyone cheats. Everyone lies. No one really commits. No one really. So they're all bowing. Why not you? You're in the same place. Why be all that he wants me to be? What difference does it make anyways? Does he really care? Is he really here? Is this thing really real? What does it take to turn this? What does it take to change the direction of a life, of a state, of a nation, of the world? What is it? Nebuchadnezzar will tell us. He will say to all the world, these three have changed the word of the king. There is no God like their God. His generations and his kingdom and the power of his works are from generation to generation. I want to say again, what did it? He will tell us, listen. He said, these three, first they trusted their God. And secondly, they yielded, they gave their lives to him. What will it take, young people? What will it take for just you, two of you, all of you, us? What will it take to turn the direction of our nation, the direction of our world? What power lies within your hands? Your lives, despite what is said, despite what is going on, what will it take? Two things. For you to trust your God and not bow. Everyone's doing it though, Jay. Everyone's lying. Everyone's texting you're not supposed to. Everyone's doing things. Everyone's having sex. Everyone's taking drugs. What does it matter? Heroin's on the rise. So what? What's a little high? What's the thing? Don't bow. One was they trusted their God. And two was they gave their lives to him. We desperately need you. We're living in a day when much of the church world has grown cold, just like the day they were living in. Much of the church world is disinterested in him. Much of the church world would gladly bow before they face the fiery furnace. Much of the church world would just as soon just live their lives as long as it's comfortable. Not those three. They were slaves. Yet they were willing to trust him. I want you to stand with me, please. They made a veggie tale out of this story. I think Nebuchadnezzar is a cucumber, I'm not sure. I appreciate the veggie tales. The only problem with that is that this is a real story. It's real people. I said to you in the beginning that there were young people throughout this scripture that would, throughout that Bible, that have changed the destiny of their families, the destiny of their cities, the destiny of their nations. Some of them had no fathers, some had no mothers. Some had fathers who didn't even believe in them, some had mothers that didn't believe in them. Some of them had uncles and teachers and others around them that could see no value in their lives. But God saw something that no one else saw. They were history makers. I believe this night there are many here. This group can change the destiny of our world. What will it take, young people, for you to set history? I believe it's you. You've got to be willing tonight to trust him like you never have trusted him before. And tonight you've got to make this decision. Tonight we're giving our lives to him. We will not bow. I made my decision at 22 years old. I wish I had an opportunity when I was a teenager, because it would have saved me a lot of heartache and a lot of grief, a lot of trouble. But it was 22 years old for both of us. 22 I was, 35 years ago. That was the day that I said, I'm in. If I never spoke and never did anything, you never knew me, it wouldn't matter. I'm in. I'm in. I'm not bowing. I'm looking to change the destiny of our world. So I'm going to ask you again. Tonight, can you make the decision? I'm trusting you like I've never trusted you before. I'm not bowing. And tonight, the decision's made. I'm giving my life to him. If that's your decision tonight, I want you to meet me up here at the altar. Let's do this together. Come. Come. Beautiful. Don't feel pressured. If you don't want to come, don't feel pressured at all. Beautiful. Come on closer to me. Please, just so I can see you. Beautiful. What a decision you're making. My young friend, the Lord is just beginning to touch your life and touch your heart. You didn't talk much about prophecy in the beginning. It doesn't matter. The Lord is really, it's not just about playing the piano. It's just not about these things. But the Lord has really turned your life. When you were 11, 12, and 13 years old, a lot of things could have been different for you. There was a real moment there where the Lord really reached in to save your life from much pain, much difficulty with family and things like this. But I want you to know that God has come to cause your life to turn in a direction. My friend, the Lord will open up a way for you to get education and continue schooling and move through. But he's already planning, if you're willing to continue to walk with him, that you'll be a young man who have influence in the lives of people. You're strong, and I can tell you what kind of profession you'll be in, though I could say several things about that. But you have to know that if you trust him, he'll guide your way. It doesn't mean you stand up and lead. It doesn't mean because he's a leader that he has to push everybody around. That's not the case. The greatest leader is first the greatest follower. And so that's why the Lord has come and really rescued you from your own life. And he's drawn you in and he's brought a closeness to you and put you in this as part of the people and part of the serving team, part of the group, and wants you to come deeper so that he will continue to guide you. The Lord will use you to alter your family. It's not going to be by your words, though, but it's going to be by your life and what the Lord does in it. So you be patient. You wait on him. You seek his face. Dude, when the pressure comes to bow and the pressure comes to do things that you know are not right, that's the time to trust him. He will keep you. And the issue with friends and people and sometimes difficulty and schooling and all that, the Lord's going to change all that for you. The more you trust him, the more you're going to see his hand work in your life. My young brother right there with the purple shirt on, I like this. You're a big boy, so I got to make this good. He's a lot younger than me, but I'm afraid of him, I think. He's football and wrestling is his skill shape. But young man, really, I want you to know that the hand of the Lord is really upon you. Not everybody will do what I do. Not everybody will do what he does. But the Lord has really purposed in your life for you to have influence upon people. You need to prepare yourself because really, education is going to be very important to you. Because the Lord is going to use you amongst young people. Even when you're in your 20s, you're going to work with teenagers. When you're in your 30s, you're going to work with your teenagers. When you're in your 40s, you're going to work with young people. And so really, the ability to teach, and the ability to learn, and the ability to teach, the Lord has really gifted you in. Doesn't mean you do exactly what I'm telling you, but you have to know that that's the way the Lord is going to use you. These are things you want to discuss with your parents, especially him. If your parents don't believe, you really want to talk to him. But the Lord is really intending to use you in that way so that you mold young people's lives. You don't realize that this decision today and continued decisions to walk with him, what that means for your future. The Lord has opened up a wide door for you to walk through if you will continue to trust him. He's going to touch because you can get angry sometimes and you get those are some of the things that you deal with. But he's going to really help you with the issues with anger and dealing with those things. I understand why. I understand what's going on and what's happened, but you know the Lord is going to really touch that area of your life so that you'll be patient with you and you'll be patient with others around you. But dude, you are going to be one stoked dude, And young people are going to like you. You're just going to have this impressive look all your life. Doesn't mean you got to have a gun or anything like that, but you're always going to have this look, born to lead. That's what the Lord has done with you. So you need to be aware of that. It's a good thing. Amen? Beautiful, beautiful. My young sister here, too, I want you to know there's a lot of young women that are in the scriptures, a lot of them, and there's amazing, there's just all sorts of young ladies, but there is this one young lady, I talked about her cousin this morning and yesterday to the pastors, her name is Esther, you might not know who she is, but she's a young woman that is an orphan, has no father, no mother, her cousin is going to raise her. But she is going to choose some very necessary things. She's born a slave. She's a slave girl in Persia. She comes after these three I talked about. But she will hold on to her virginity. She will hold on to obedience. She will hold on to things that the Persian world did not think important. Just like our world, they do not think things like that are important. But I want you to know, young lady, it's not just you. It's for every young person. But it was these things that she held on to, that she lived her life in the way she knew she should, without her ever realizing it. She would live a day at 20 years old, and she would save her country because she would become queen. I'm not saying that you're going to become queen, and I'm not saying you're going to save your country. But the Lord had a place for her, specifically by him. He used her in a way that was amazing for the time of her life. And the Lord has so set your path this way. Through education, you trusting him, and through education, your ability with the arts and your ability with sound, with music and all those things that you love, the creativeness that you have in your heart, those things the Lord is going to use. He's really gifted you that way. Do not cut it short. Don't sell it short. Wait for the right one. Don't worry about any of those things. He'll handle your life. All you've got to do is just trust him. And girl, I mean, he'll make your life more full all of us need to hear this because it's the truth. We trust him and we walk according to his way. He'll make our life more full than we ever could know. But you need to know that he will do that. All you have to do is trust him.
Beautiful.
My young girl, though things are new and things are different, you know what amazes me much about these three? The hardest thing for any teenager is to be taken to a strange land, taken to a strange people, taken to a place they've never known. That's got to be the most difficult thing. I do it better now because I'm older. But when I was young, that was the most difficult thing, to be moved around, shuffled around. And it was just difficult. It amazes me that they were in a strange land with people they didn't understand, but yet they're willing to trust God. And I want you to know that the Lord is already laying within you, when we met the other night, a grace to trust him and a grace to believe him. Inside of you is an amazing ability to sing, a love for music, a love for sound, a love for dance, and all of these things the Lord is going to use for his kingdom. You got to realize, young lady, that he made a way. I don't know how he does it, but he cut a hole through the mountain and he made a pathway to bring you to this very place, that he could begin to cause the young woman that's bright and bubbly, and the great sound that you have within there and the great vocals that you have in there. It's not for the voice. It's not for American Idol. The world can have that stuff. That's bottom feeding compared to this great kingdom. I love all that stuff. But it is in the church that the Lord is going to open up your heart, your ability to write, the poetic nature that you have, the sound and the way you work words together. These are things that the Lord is going to use in his kingdom. You don't realize it, though, but your days are going to be brighter than they've ever been. This is a wonderful day to trust this awesome God and this great God who sometimes you don't see, to know that he will work things out when they appear they are impossible and cannot be worked out. These three were thrown into a fire furnace. It's like, hello, this is what we get for not bowing? Oh, no, they had no idea that Jesus was going to show up in a way he had never shown up before. I want you to know, and I want all of us to know, we trust him. He will show up in such strength and such power and such might. He will do more than we ever thought possible to do. This is what he's doing. All right, here we are. It's 8:30. I've got to quit like right around this time. Okay? My young friend right here in the striped shirt, the glasses, sweater, you. Dude, listen, what I want from everyone in this group is I want every one of these young people to know their Bible. There are some here that have the call of God. I've spoken to them before. There are some here, I want all of them to hold the Bible dear. I want them all to be, they don't have to be him, they don't have to be me, but I want them to have the word in there so they speak it in their workplace, in school. I want them to have it. But you, my young friend, the Lord has really laid his hand upon to be one who carries the scripture, one who carries the word, one who trains and teaches, one who is to be a handler of the word, much like this young man. Doesn't mean you're just like him, but God has set him among young people to carry the word. That is your destiny. Even if you become a man in the workforce, the Lord has set you as a young man that will hold the word, carry the word, teach the word, guide with the word, instruct with the word. The word of God is going to become more important to you than it ever has been. This is what the Lord is doing in your life. It is just the beginning. So the discipline to learn, to read, to study, to walk according to the right way, it doesn't mean you become a man of the law or legalistic. It's none of that stuff. Be you, dude. Listen, I'm a grandfather. I have fun. I'm jetted up. This is life. I'm loving life. I'm loving life. But I'll tell you what, though. This boy is absolutely in love with him. He's the bomb of bombs, the fat of the fat. He's the dude of the dude. Yeah, he's the man upstairs, and he's the yo-yo of the yo-yo. He is up and at it. He is the it. He is. I consider him, and I stand tonight in absolute awe of the awesome God. That is what you will carry. All right, you've done it tonight. We've got to pray. Here's our decision tonight. It's one, we're trusting him. What does that mean? I'm not bowing. Yeah, I know, but what about the friends? I'm not bowing. Yeah, I know, but what will if they talk about you? I'm not bowing. Yeah, I know, but what if I'm not bowing? Yeah, but what if I'm not bowing? I'm trusting him. What if they start a fiery furnace and throw you in it? I'm trusting him. What if they threaten you? I'm trusting him. He delivered them. He'll deliver us. Got it? But here's the big one, though. They gave their lives to him. What does that mean? That means from this day forward, we WWJD. What would Jesus do? Pushing me around. Get out of my face. What would Jesus do? Thankfully, he's not going to knock me out. Obedience. Time to go to bed. No texting. In school, we work as hard as we can. See, this is where it begins. This is where it begins. We're giving our life to him. We're walking according to his way. We're loving. We're forgiving. We are the servants. We are the lovers. We're the ones who represent him. That's what it means. Are we ready? This is a historical making moment. I'm warning our world. Get ready. Because this generation is changing our destiny. I believe it. I want you to believe it. One hand up. Just pray with me. Jesus, come on, say it like Denver won the Super Bowl. Say it like you're a Seattle fan. Jesus! Jesus! Tonight. We declare, trust you. We will not bow. We will not bow. Tonight, I give my life to you. Be with me. Be in me. Shine through me. Let all who see me see you. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.